Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast. It's the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies and read more books, but doesn't know where to start. We have a very special episode today, as it is our third annual Speaking English Award Show, also known as The Shiners.
Yay.
Yay. So welcome to it. We're here. If you don't know what this is, we don't care too much for that other award show that people seem to go crazy about, at least in recent years. I know we did a whole episode on it the first year around. Mm-hmm. But since then, we've decided to do things our own way. And it's a chance, an evening, to celebrate the movies that we ourselves watched for the podcast over the past year. So in this case, 2023. All the movies that we watched for the pod, we nominated some for awards a couple months ago. And now it's here to hand them out. How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
Nice.
I could not be more excited.
Incredible. What if I said I was 11 excited?
Whoa. Take it easy.
There's no stopping the Shiner train. So unfortunately this year, I do not have the physical awards with me. They do exist, though. We do have them. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, but I can't be physically handing them out. Well, I never would be physically handing them out, but I can't spiritually hand them out. So we're just gonna have to use our best imagination even more than normal.
I can picture the beer bottle trophies in my mind's eye very clearly, so no worries.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you were listening for previous years, then maybe you also have an idea in your head, at least of how this works. We'll see how it goes. Real quick, before we get into our very special award show, how has your week been?
My week was really, really busy. It was the week before spring break, so there's a lot to do. But my weekend was so fantastic. Like, just really could not have gone any better. On nice. Saturday, I threw a birthday party for my boyfriend, Adam. It was his golden birthday. He turned 27 on the 27th. But we just had the party this weekend. And I rented out one of the tiny theaters in our local indie movie theater, The Lyric, and all of his friends.
Oh, awesome.
And we like had a little party in the theater. That theater has a bar, and everybody brought like video game consoles and stuff. And we just kind of played Mario Kart and Smash on the like big screen. And then we went out to dinner, we went out to the bars, and then we had like a huge slumber party at my house, which was like so much fun. It just felt it felt like a very youthful party. In like the best way. And we had such a blast. So that was really so special and so fun. And then last night I saw one of my favorite bands that I've talked about on the podcast before, Twin Temple. With one of my best friends, Joe. We saw them in Denver last night, and it was the funnest concert I've like ever been to in my life. I have been to a lot of really fun, really special concerts, but this was just like unlike anything that I have ever been to before, because Twin Temple is a satanic doo-wop band, which is really, really fun. And they just play that up so much. Like, they just lean into Satanist stereotypes, I guess. Fun. It's such a fun and such a campy, like ridiculous way. And it was just they pretended to sacrifice a baby, like a toy baby, on the stage. Like, it was just so fun. And the crowd was just so into everything and so polite and cool. Like, I think one of the best parts about seeing a smaller band in this time is that nobody has their phones out. Like, nobody in front of you is recording the entire time, which every time I've seen a bigger band lately, it's just like a field of screens in front of you.
Yeah, I've also noticed that.
Yeah, it was not like that at Twin Temple. It was so, everybody was just really dancing and like vibing and smiling and hanging out. And it was so fun. And I had such a blast, and it was so goth. So cool. Everybody there was really, really goth.
And all right.
So yeah, I loved that. I've had a great weekend.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
Thanks.
I know I can be guilty sometimes of the phone thing. I'll record like one or two little moments of songs.
Yeah. I also like to get like a couple pictures, maybe like a video of my favorite song.
Yeah. I have noticed that a lot of times it's like just a sea of phones. It's like,
it's like the whole show. And it kind of like blocks my view because I'm kind of short.
Kind of short.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun. What a wonderful weekend.
Right?
This weekend was also pretty eventful for me. Nice. I had like two different things going on Friday and Saturday. Usually I have one blowout per weekend. One kind of hit the town. Mm-hmm. But this weekend was not one, but two.
Nice.
And it might have been too much. I don't know, man. But it was just a really fun time, and I had a blast. No regrets, I'll say.
Awesome.
And then yesterday I ended up doing my taxes. Which tutor.com is ruining my life.
Oh no.
So with tutor.com, this job that I was working that I'm sure I've talked about at some point on here.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't give me a W-2. I was a non-employee compensation. And because it's a different form, none of the free filers that I've used in the past will let me do it for free.
Oh, that sucks.
So I didn't like realize this. So I tried like two different ones because I don't know. I did. But and then I was like, oh man. So after entering all my stuff in two different times, I was like, okay, I'll just have to do it on my own. So I actually called my dad and he helped me. So I didn't really do it on my own, but it was actually like oddly satisfying to, you know, fill in the form and like know exactly where everything goes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Cause usually like if I use, you know, I've used like TurboTax in the past and they just like ask you questions.
Right.
And then you're like, no, yes, no, no, none of these apply to me and whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're doing the fillable forms, like just filling it out yourself, it's like you see exactly where like each box is and like what you would have to do if that did apply to you. And I don't know, it was like weirdly kind of cool doing it all myself by hand. So I was, you know, feeling pretty good about it until after I submitted it, it said I did something wrong.
No.
So now I need to, I don't know, go back in and figure out what went wrong and why. And that was a little bit disheartening because I spent so much time doing that and I thought I was over with. But at the end of it all, at the end of the day, I should be getting some good money back. And that'll be very exciting. Good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, weekend was very good. I had a nice time, but this transition into the week has been awful. I don't know why. I just been so out of it today, like not being able to make the transition back into the work week day.
So, been there.
Yeah, it's been a little bit tricky for today, but hopefully I can bounce back over the course of the week. But
yeah, I'm sure you can.
But yeah, I'm quickly running out of time. I'm not super near the deadline for my grad school application, but I definitely still have a lot to do with that. And hopefully I can get it done because my family is coming to visit me in a week, about, I guess, a week and a half. But yeah.
That is so exciting.
In next Friday, they will be here.
Yay. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for them. They're going to have some fun.
I think it's going to be super cool. So we've been kind of planning out what's going on in that trip. And hopefully I can get most of my application done in the next week or the next 2 weeks before that happens. And then it'll be smooth sailing.
Yay. It's so exciting.
Yeah. So that's what's new. It's been an eventful time since we've last met. before we get into our own award show, do you have any comments on the other award show that we don't mention by name anymore, because
I'm glad you brought this up. Competition. Right. I do have two things I'd like to say about the award show that shall not be named. And I was hoping we'd talk about this.
Okay.
First of all, I didn't watch them at all because I was at Twin Temple. They're on last night. Yeah. But I saw that Emma Stone won Best Actress, and I'm really pleased about that. I thought she did great, and I'm really happy for her. I actually don't know who won Best Picture. I'm going to have to look that up. Now that I think about it, I haven't even seen that yet. I'm kind of curious. Do you know?
Yeah.
Who?
It was the Oppenheimer.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. Oh, actually, finish your thoughts, and then I'll...
Okay.
Well, I'll lay down the law.
Okay. The other thing I just wanted to say about it was that I saw that in Ryan Gosling's performance of I'm Just Ken, he really paid tribute to and like took inspiration from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. Like a part of that number is directly referencing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. And I just want to say that I thought that was an excellent choice. I love that movie and I really love that song. And it just makes so much sense to kind of like, I don't know, like pay respect to a Marilyn Monroe number like that when you're doing a song like this. Like it was just a really fantastic choice. And I thought it turned out really well. This is very well executed.
Incredible.
It's so cool. I love Ryan Gosling. Longtime friend of the pod.
Yeah, honestly. I'm glad that you're on board with describing people like that.
Yeah. I think it's really funny.
Longtime friend of the pod, Ryan Gosling. Yeah, very cool. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, which was snubbed for best costumes at last year's Shiners.
Mm-hmm.
A similar thing may have happened with the costume category this year, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Yeah, so here's the thing with me with that other award show. This happened the last 2 years where there was like one movie that just won everything.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was Everything Everywhere All at Once, and this year it was Oppenheimer, which I think, you know, deserved. Like they're both great movies, right? But mm-hmm. I think that they won in a lot of categories that maybe other things might have been more deserving, just because they were like the big buzzworthy movie.
Yeah,
I think Oppenheimer won like 7 different awards, and I think, you know, a lot of them were pretty warranted. But at the same time, I don't know, something that we do good on our own award show is to kind of spread the wealth, spread the love. But that's just something that I noticed over the last 2 years. And I kind of hope it's not like that. It doesn't continue to be like that, where it's like one movie will just win for like every category it's up for. Even if it is really good. But
yeah.
I don't know. Because I think that there was a lot of really good movies that came out this year. Like I had a hard time picking out what my favorite movie from last year was.
Mm-hmm.
But
I totally agree. Yeah, I don't know. It is just kind of hard that a lot of things maybe like go unrecognized. I saw, I don't even know who it was, but I saw this actress getting interviewed on the carpet and somebody asked her, like, what do you think about, you know, Margot and Greta not being nominated. And she was like, I think that people kind of forget that, like, this is not the only way to be recognized. Like, they made the highest grossing movie of the year. Like, that's the accomplishment in and of itself. You don't have to win the award or even be nominated for the award for that. Like, that doesn't just stop mattering just because didn't get an Oscar or be nominated. And I was like, that is a great point. But it is still, you know, obviously, it does mean something in that industry. Like, it's important. I don't know. I go back and forth, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's because I didn't watch it, like, live because I was sleeping.
Mm.
But I woke up, you know, kind of to... It was, like, just starting as I was going to bed. And mm-hmm. then I woke up to all the big news. And when I got home from work, I kind of watched some of the bigger moments. But, yeah, I'm glad that Emma Stone won for Best mm-hmm. Actress. Also a longtime friend of the pod.
Yeah.
yeah,
so great.
But I thought Lily Gladstone also did quite well, but I think I personally would have voted for Emma Stone.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know what awards I really cared about that much outside of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something that I think is interesting for our own award show here is that two movies that were prevalent in that other award show yesterday are up for Shiners tonight. So we'll see if they win in those same categories or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to point out before we get into the awards, how we do our little system here. There's been a poll that's open over since we've done the nominations. So if you didn't vote, it's your own fault because we've been kind of hyping it up in each episode since then. So it's too late now.
It's your problem.
It's too late now, but you should have been voting. So we take those votes. Each of you could vote for one person for each category, one person or picture for each category. And then we, both of us, do our own little ranked lists with our number one getting 5 points or four if in the four person or thing categories. And then do it that way. So we have a little bit more power, but we get overridden from time to time, which happened a couple points here too, which will be elucidated in due course. You ready to get into it?
I really am. I'm very excited to see what's going to win.
Cool. What do you want to start out with?
Oh, I don't know.
See, normally I have the things and I can just like pull one out and see like the awards and just like pick one up and see what it is. But
the first category that was on our voting, our ballot, was ensemble cast. If you want to start there.
All right, let's do ensemble cast. This was a category that we introduced last year because we noticed that we were watching lots of movies with lots of good actors. This year it was a little bit of a shorter category, but still formidable. Let's see. Last year, the winner was Magnolia for ensemble cast.
Excellent choice.
And the nominees this year were A Separation, Charlie's Angels, Barbie, and Oppenheimer. So right off the bat, we have some, I should point out at that other award show, they're introducing a casting award, which I feel like kind of falls into this, but in a different way. You know, like the person that gets awarded is the casting director.
Yeah.
But the way that we do it, the whole cast of the picture can share a single beer.
I'm kind of excited about that. As much as I don't care about that other award show, I think it's a good choice for them to add an award like that. Kind of a long time coming.
Yeah. Give the people their recognition. So I also do want to point out that we were ahead of the curve with this one because we already introduced it a year ago before they even talked about it.
Sounds like somebody is taking direct inspiration. Can't say I'm surprised.
Exactly. Come up with your own ideas.
Yeah.
That's all right. I think other award shows also have it. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
The Shiner for Best Ensemble Cast for 2023 goes to A Separation.
Yay! I am thrilled that was my number one.
Yeah, me too. This was actually a tie between Barbie, Oppenheimer, and The Separation.
Oh my God. Sorry, Charlie's Angels.
Sorry, Charlie's Angels. But since we both had it as our number one, I decided that that breaks the tie.
I agree.
Because as some of the people that I know who voted for it told me, they haven't seen a lot of these movies. And I said, you know what? That's all right. We want to get the votes in. So if you haven't seen A Separation, go check it out because it's now the winner of the Best Ensemble Cast Shiner.
Mm-hmm. And it's so, so good. So worth a watch.
Yeah. It really is a good one. When I was kind of filling out my ballots or whatever for this one, I was kind of realizing movies that I maybe liked more than I had thought originally based on like what I was picking for like a bunch of categories.
Mm-hmm.
not to say that I didn't really like A Separation when I watched it, but certain things about this movie, I was like, you know what? That was pretty exemplary. So, but
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So that one I knew I was voting for it because when we did the nominations, it was the one that stood out the most. But cool. I want to jump to the best soundtrack next. Because that's the award that we introduced starting this year.
Yeah, true.
We have
best soundtrack award.
Yeah. So this one we don't have an actual physical award for. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be handed out digitally. Because basically our idea with this category, it's not sound design and it's not score. It's basically if you were to go buy the soundtrack that's released for which movie, which one would be the best? Mm-hmm. This is one where there's a tie. So the nominees are for best soundtrack, the first ever best soundtrack, Shiner, Phantom of the Paradise, The Lure, Barbie, Kriya, and Perks of Being a Wallflower. Mm-hmm. So let me look up the numbers real quick, because this one is just a two-way tie. One of the ties of the two that are tied was your number one and my number four.
Whoa.
And the other was your number four and my number three.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And one of them, a lot of people on the poll voted for.
Was it Barbie?
So the two that are tied are Barbie and Perks of Being a Wallflower. The one that had a lot of the one that had more on the poll was actually Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, I'm surprised. Well, I think that we should go with that one then, because let the people's voices be heard. You know,
okay.
I'm happy that they're voting.
Yeah, that's cool for me because it wasn't clear. Like we both had different ones higher. I think if we have the same one higher on our own personal rankings, then we should give it to that one. But if we're not sure, we'll let the people speak.
I agree.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So the winner is Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Congratulations, Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Our nostalgia watch for rewatch week makes its way to an award.
A real underdog story.
Fitting that an episode type that we introduced last year wins the award that we introduced this year. So congratulations to Perks of Being a Wallflower. Go buy the soundtrack and tell them we sent you. Okay, what's next?
Let's do screenplay.
Screenplay. Ooh, a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the first big one. So this is one that's been around all 3 years. The winner of the first best screenplay award was Miranda July for Kajillionaire.
Great choice.
A movie in our podcast Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, the winner was All About Eve, who wrote it. Oh, no, I don't have it written down on here. It's only on the I guess that's the bad thing about looking up the actual people after the fact is that I don't know who they are now. Sorry. Whoever wrote All About Eve, go watch The Last Shiners to find out, or listen to The Last Shiners to find out. Okay, so this time around, our nominees for best screenplay are Asghar Farhadi for A Separation, Satyajit Ray for The Big City, Carlos Sauda for Kriya, Billy Wilder and Raymond Chandler from A Novel by James Cain for Double Indemnity, and Dorothy B. Hughes and Andrew Salt from an original story by Edmund H. North for In a Lonely Place.
Nice.
Those are the people who wrote them. So next year when I don't know, you can come back to this episode and listen to who they are. Okay. Ready?
Yep.
So the Shiner for best screenplay goes to Billy Wilder and Raymond Chandler for Double Indemnity. A film noir classic.
Yeah, I'm really glad we watched that one this year.
Yeah, I think it worked out really great. I think this was our both of our number one picks, or at least it was mine. And it was first or second for you, I think.
Nice.
So we were in agreement on that one. And Billy Wilder takes home his first ever Shiner, I think.
Go, Billy.
Good guy. How about sound next?
Okay.
Okay, so for the best sound design overall, I think I'll read the nominees first, and then I'll read the previous winners.
Okay.
So this year, for sound, we have Oppenheimer, Phantom of the Paradise, Color Out of Space, and Carrie.
That one was kind of hard to pick.
Yeah, I kind of struggled with this one as well. Okay, so the first year, Sound of Metal won for best sound, to no one's surprise. And last year, it was actually Angel's Egg that won in a tiebreaker.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
For best sound, which I think is a fun and deserving win.
I would have to agree.
Okay, so this year it was a close race. And the winner is Oppenheimer for best sound.
Yeah, that was my number one. It was very good.
It was, yeah. I agree. I think there wasn't much between all of these. Two Brian De Palma movies plus two, I don't know how to do what similarities between Oppenheimer and Color Out of Space are.
None. Could not be more different.
Two movies with weird sounds. I don't know. Yeah, so Oppenheimer takes home its first Shiner to go with its seven other awards.
Oh, seven Oscars?
It did, yeah.
That's crazy.
I think one of them was for best sound. So.
Oh, great.
I don't know. Let's see. So we're in accordance, I guess. So we'll see if Oppenheimer can add to its total. You tell me what we do next.
Editing.
Editing. All right. Yeah, they usually go hand in hand. Huh? I feel like we've done those. Oh, no. The Zone of Interest won Best Sound.
Oh, interesting. I still haven't seen that.
Me neither. But I hear that that's like the craziest part of it is just the sound design is unreal.
That's cool.
Wow. So, yeah, that's good for them, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so for editing, oh no, we have a tie for this one too.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so first the nominees for best editing. Billy Weber and Robert Estrin for Badlands. Hirokazu Koreeda himself for Nobody Knows. Herv Schneid for Amelie. Pablo G. Del Amo for Kriya. And Yaroslav Kaminsky for The Lure. This award has been around for both years. Last year, the winner for editing was Last Year at Marienbad, which was a crazy movie. I think that's deserving.
I agree.
And our very first year, the winner for editing was Sunrise, Harold D. Schuster for Sunrise.
Nice.
Both of those were like two of my favorite movies from the year that I think that's the only award they won was for editing.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah. So let's see. For this time around, I'm going to check who we each had. And if we're in agreement, then that'll just be the winner. Like if as far as like one over the other. I think that's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if not, it'll go to the people. We're not in agreement. So
To
the tiebreaker. It's also tied on the poll.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Oh no. Okay, so the tie is between Nobody Knows and Amelie. I had Nobody Knows as my number one and Amelie as my number two. You had Amelie as your number three and Nobody Knows as your number four.
This is tough.
This one is a tough one. And each of them had two votes on the poll. Okay, so after much deliberation, this might be our closest category ever. I know that their costumes from our first year was also very close. But we've come to a decision that the winner is Herve Schneid for Amelie.
Yay! Congratulations, Herve.
Congratulations, Herve, being our third ever winner for best editing. And it bucks the trend of the previous 2 years of being a movie that I really liked.
Sorry.
But no, that's fine. It's just interesting that the last 2 years was like the movie that I wanted to win at least something. I think that was a Tony Award that I really liked.
I feel good about Amelie winning this. I don't know if Amelie will win anything else.
Yeah.
Amelie was edited in such a unique, really fun way that like just kind of suits the message of the movie so perfectly, I guess. So I feel like this is a deserved win.
Yeah, I actually agree. And I mean, that's part of why I had it so high up.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations, Herve. You want to do costuming and production design as the next two?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I think that works for me. So for costuming, let's start with, I suppose. Best costuming, our nominees are Joseph G. Aulisi for Charlie's Angels.
Nice.
Omar Kiam for Wuthering Heights. Jacqueline Duran for Barbie. And Katarzyna Lewinska for The Lure.
Nice.
There you have it. Let's see what won in previous years. I think after much deliberation and tie-breaking, for our first ever costuming winner was Odile Dix Moreau for Last Night in Soho. That was a tie between that one and Juliet of the Spirits.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And last year, to our personal chagrin, the winner of costuming was Moulin Rouge and not Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah, that was difficult.
So before I read out the award winner, I might want to point out that we once again had the same number one choice, but that was not the winner this year. So the winner for best costuming shiner for this year is Jacqueline Duran for Barbie.
Oh, cool. Yay, Barbie.
Yay, Barbie.
Really fantastic.
Yeah. So we both picked The Lure as our number one.
Yeah. I think I have maybe Barbie in second place. So I feel fine with that. But yeah, the tails for the mermaid in The Lure, they were just so good. Like I had to give that my top vote.
Yeah. And just all the outfits. I thought it like... The outfits were what made it seem that the most like the 80s, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But yeah, so that was a close second, but the winner is going to be Barbie for costuming this time around.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Okay, next up is production design. So I think I have the people's names for that one. I didn't write them down in my little notebook that I'm pulling the answers from, but I did on the poll. So, okay. So our nominees for best production design are James Bassevi and Sydney Moore for Wuthering Heights, Aline Bonetto for Amelie, Sarah Greenwood for Barbie, Jack Fisk for Phantom of the Paradise, and Carrie O'Dell and Louis Diage for Bell Book and Candle.
Nice.
Okay, let's see what won in previous years. So last year's winner for production design was The Red Shoes.
That's which great.
I thought was like deserving.
Yeah, completely agree.
And our first year, it was a whole bunch of people for Juliet of the Spirits. sorry to not read their names. If you want to hear their names, go listen to the the episode. Cool. So the winner for the Shiner for Best Production Design for this year was Sarah Greenwood for Barbie.
Woo! Go Barbie! Wow, a double win for Barbie. Congratulations.
Both costumes and production design. This one was kind of a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, me as well. It was so perfect and so cool.
Yeah. Congratulations. A deserved winner. A runaway winner. Second place was Amelie by 5 points less. So,
nice.
Yeah. Another win for Barbie.
Yay, Barbie.
You want to do supporting actor next? Or should we?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I think supporting actor works.
Okay.
Okay, so our nominees this year for supporting actor are, let me find it. Okay, Barbara Stanwyck as Phyllis Dietrichson in Double Indemnity. Jessica Harper as Phoenix in Phantom of the Paradise. Jack Lemmon as Nikki Holroyd in Bell Book and Candle. Emma Watson as Sam from The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And Paul Rudd as Mr. Anderson, also from The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Nice.
So in previous years, we had last year, the winner for supporting performance was Monica Vitti in La Notte. And our very first year, our winner was Steven Yeun in Burning.
So nice.
And the winner for this year is Barbara Stanwyck in Double Indemnity.
Oh, yay. I'm happy about that.
Yeah. So I think this was your number one choice as well as my number two choice. So
what was your number one?
Jessica Harper in Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, nice.
Which I think you had as your last place.
Yeah.
Which does happen every year. We got some. Yeah. I just thought that was funny, but.
It is funny.
I thought they both did great, but Barbara Stanwyck is a deserved winner.
Completely agree.
She's so, I don't know, conniving in that movie.
So true. Yeah. I love it.
So a deserved win. Let's see. Cinematography. Have we done cinematography yet?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't either. In fact, I know that we didn't. Our nominees this year for best cinematography are Mahmood Kalari for A Separation, three dudes for Badlands, Tak Fujimoto, Brian Probin, and Stephen Larner, Mario Tosi for Carrie, Burnett Guffey for In a Lonely Place, and Hoyt Van Hoytema for Oppenheimer.
Nice.
Cool. In our previous years, the winners for cinematography were... Last year, it was Long Day's Journey Into Night. That was also multiple people. The year before was Stanislav Milota for The Cremator, the only award that The Cremator
took. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so two very good cinematography winners. And this year, the winner is... So pause for effect. Hoyt Van Hoytema for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, go Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer takes home another one. And this is one that also won at that other award show.
Okay, interesting.
So yeah, another win for Oppenheimer. Congratulations.
We have a little too much in common with that other award show. Might be getting a little suspicious.
Yeah. I think it's fairly deserved. My pick for this one was actually A Separation is my number one. Mm-hmm. Because I was kind of thinking about like what made that movie so great. And like the first thing that came to mind was ensemble cast, right?
Yeah.
But then after that, I think the cinematography was really kind of doing an underrated job in that one of like really kind of telling the story. There's just so many shots in that where you have like a deep focus of like in the background, like someone blurred in the front. I don't know, like just the way that it uses the space, I thought was cool.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But Oppenheimer had the scale, the majesty.
Yeah.
And was also doing a lot of cool stuff. So I'm happy with that win.
I am too.
Congratulations to Mr. Hoytema for taking home the two big awards of the year, the award season for best cinematography. Cool. So I think all that we have left is unique picture, director, lead, and best picture.
Okay.
Also known as movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's do unique picture first.
Okay.
This is another one that we introduced last year when I think Angel's Egg took this one home in a close race between or in a close race with The American Astronaut.
Yeah, those are very, very unique.
Two very unique pictures. I don't think anything got quite as unique as either of those this year, but we still had quite a good lineup.
I agree.
Our nominees for unique picture are Stranger Than Paradise, Badlands, Charlie's Angels, Phantom of the Paradise, and The Lure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are very unique.
A lot of unique ones. Cool. So it was a close race between two, but the winner for most unique picture of 2023 on the Speaking English podcast is Phantom of the Paradise, directed by Brian De Palma.
Yeah, that's very well deserved.
Yeah. that's a pretty unique movie.
Yeah.
This was my number one choice, I'm pretty sure.
I think it was mine too.
Incredible. We're in agreement.
It's nice when that happens.
Yeah. We're really on the same page every once in a while. So yeah, that it was a close race between that one and The Lure, which I think we both had as our number two choice as well. So.
Oh, nice.
In fact, wait, I think we might've had the same rankings for this one. No, not quite. We had Badlands and Charlie's Angels flipped in our 4 and 5 slot.
Gotcha.
Almost perfectly in sync. But congratulations to Phantom of the Paradise, our most unique picture of the year.
Yeah, very well deserved. Congrats.
Congrats. Okay, so for direction, I think should be next.
Okay.
Our nominees are Asghar Farhadi for A Separation, Jim Jarmusch for Stranger Than Paradise, Hirokazu Koreeda for Nobody Knows, Brian De Palma for Carrie, and Billy Wilder for Double Indemnity.
Really strong category.
Yeah. I agree. This was also very hard to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a close race, but we have a clear winner and then a tie for second. So the top three, there wasn't much between them. In previous years, let's see, the first time around, we had Edward Yang won for A Brighter Summer Day.
Nice.
And last year, it was Paul Thomas Anderson for Magnolia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay, so all that leading up to this year's winner for Best Director is Brian De Palma for Carrie.
Woohoo! Oh, that's great. I'm really glad about that.
Yeah, kind of a I don't know about a surprise win, but it was because it was just very close. But
yeah.
Yeah, he edged out the competition by 1 point. Corrieta and Wilder were tied for second in this one.
Yeah, it really was so hard to pick. So that really makes sense. But
yeah,
I'm glad he won. Carrie, so great, so perfectly directed.
Yeah, so two bangers from Brian De Palma this year that both won awards for stuff.
That's awesome.
Maybe Phantom of the Paradise was a little more unique, but Carrie had the better direction.
I agree. I'm glad it shook out that way.
Yeah. Moving on to our lead performance. This one's we're down to the last two awards to hand out. Our nominees for lead performance are Humphrey Bogart as Dick Steele in A Lonely Place.
Nice.
Audrey Tautou as Amelie in Amelie. Sissy Spacek as Carrie in Carrie. Margot Robbie as Barbie in Barbie. And Anna Torrent as Anna in Kriya.
Awesome.
In previous years, our winners, let's see, last year or the first year, I keep changing the order in which I say, gotta keep them on their toes. The first year we did this, our winner was Chadwick Boseman in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Nice.
And last year, our winner was Betty Davis in All About Eve.
Also so nice.
Yeah. Two big performances to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner for this year's award for lead performance is Sissy Spacek as Carrie in Carrie.
Yeah.
All right.
Number one. Woo!
Yeah.
Sissy.
That was also my number one.
Oh, great.
So we were in agreement once again. This was another pretty close one, though, between her and Audrey Tautou.
Nice.
But Humphrey Bogart did not get any love. He was
sorry,
both Humphrey. Of our last places and the only one to not get any votes on the poll.
Oh, my God. That's kind of brutal.
He was I keep hearing the term personality hire. I don't know what that means, but he was the personality.
That's so funny. I refer to myself as a personality hire all the time. Every time I'm in a school meeting and nothing smart to contribute, but I get a good joke in, I'm like, yeah, I'm aware I'm that I'm personality hire.
That's funny. No, I guess Humphrey Bogart's our token male nominee.
That's true. We had to have one.
Cool. So all that is left is Best Picture, Movie of the Year, which there's a three-way tie at the top of this one. I'm going to check how we did our respective rankings and see if we can break the tie through the criteria that we introduced. Ooh, okay. Yeah, there is one with a highest average score.
Okay.
So I think that's our winner.
Yeah.
Cool. So this I found to be the hardest to choose between.
It was so tough.
Which is crazy because I think the last 2 years, I think I had one that was kind of above the rest of the pack, or like, I don't know. It wasn't as difficult in previous years, but this time around, I think I really could put these in any order and like have it. Yeah. Feel reasonable. But once I settled on my list, that's my list. And so we have a winner.
Okay, I'm excited.
So let's read out the nominations. They were A Separation, Stranger Than Paradise, Nobody Knows, Kriya, and Carrie for Best Picture.
Really, really strong choices.
Quite a stacked lineup. And we had to snub quite a few others.
Yeah.
So our first ever award show, the winner was A Brighter Summer Day.
Very well deserved.
Monumental achievement in filmmaking, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. Very well deserved. Yeah. Last year's winner, it was a little bit closer, but it was The Red Shoes.
Nice. Yeah. Also very well deserved.
And adding its name to that prestigious list and perhaps our very own Hall of Fame, I feel like if we pick a Best Picture winner, we got to put it in the Hall of Fame, right?
I agree.
On principle.
On principle.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The evening has led up to this moment, I guess. Some might call it a forgotten classic because I forgot to watch it. It was Korea is our Best Picture winner.
Yay.
All right.
That was my number one. Go Korea.
Yeah. You carried the vote on that one.
That's funny.
It was a very, very close race. And there is a three-way tie between A Separation and Nobody Knows.
Nice.
But based on our own average scores, I had this as my number three choice.
Nice.
So it just edged it out to be our Best Picture.
Woohoo!
Congratulations. How fitting that the...
That's so fun.
I'm in Spain and a Spanish movie wins.
I'm so happy about that. This was definitely, well, I won't say definitely because this really was hard to choose, but this was my favorite movie that we watched for the pod this year. And it's just, it's so funny that it felt kind of like random. Like I'd never heard of it before. And then you forgot to watch it.
It yeah, feels like an underdog win, which is odd for something like this, but yeah, I agree.
It was just so excellent. So I'm really happy about that. Yay. Congratulations.
But I think it is very deserved. So yeah, congratulations to the whole team behind it. Cool. So there you have it. The third annual Speaking English Awards. I think we had another great award season.
I agree.
Let's see if there's any... Okay, so there's a couple of movies that didn't win anything that I thought were quite good that I just want to recognize here at the end. Mm-hmm. Stranger Than Paradise, which I think was actually like just my favorite. I didn't put it as first on my ballot, but I think just as far as like new discoveries, I think it was my favorite just because it's so odd. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not quite odd enough to put it as unique picture. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't quite like polished or complete, like fully impressive, I guess, as far as like the whole package to put as my best picture. But I quite enjoyed that one.
Nice.
And then the other one that I just feel like feels a little bit sad is The Big City, which I think we both really liked, but we didn't really nominate it for much.
Yeah.
I think only one thing for screenplay. And then it
didn't win that one. Yeah, but, it was kind of tough to fit that one in places, but I agree. It really was so good. I'm so glad that we watched that one this year.
Yeah, I agree. It was, yeah. So I wanted to, you know, give it a little bit of credit here at the end, because that would just miss out on a Best Picture nom as well.
Right.
I think pretty much everything else won a little something, at least all of the big ones. There you so have awesome. It. The Shiner's in the bag. And another movie added to our Hall of Fame.
That's so awesome.
So yeah, now you guys all have to watch Kriya or Kriya Cuervos, depending on where you are, where you might find it. Highly recommend. And our first ever underdog winner for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Which like feels like a very fitting... attribution for it.
I totally agree.
Cool. There you have it. That's the award show.
Yay. That's awesome.
Maybe in future years, we'll have some people come and make speeches. We'll see.
We should just start asking random people to accept awards on the winner's behalf.
That's a and, like, good idea. If I'm back in the States for the next one and I have the actual awards to hand out, So that puts a wrap and a bow on this year's edition. Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating as well. For those that voted, your votes meant a lot. And for the second straight year, because you voted, we didn't get our pick for best costume. I wonder if that'll happen every year.
Yeah.
but it shows the power of the people. It's not duocracy.
True. Your vote matters.
So you can overrule our decisions. Are you good for book club for next week?
I should be, yeah.
I've been reading Stoner and I think it's been affecting my mood. I'm going to be completely honest. I think part of the reason why I had a tough day today was because I read that on the train going to school. But I think I have a lot to say about it.
And, okay, awesome.
A little bit left to read of it, but I think it'll be doable for next episode.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, give it a read. And that'll be for next week. Next episode, whenever it may be, which means all that is up to do for this time around is to recommend an album. Do you have an album to recommend?
Yes. It's.
And why is it The Perks of Being a Wallflower soundtrack?
Well, sorry to disappoint, but it isn't that. The album that I'm recommending is called Under the World by Vows. And I had never heard this before until last night. Vows opened for Twin Temple at the concert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I was blown away. They are very goth in a very British way, to be clear. One type of British person is acceptable, and it's a British goth. Lean really hard into the goth nightmare that is the UK. That is cool with me. That's the only way to do it.
I can get down with that.
They're so awesome, dude. Like I've really never been to like a goth concert before. They're so cool. Like they just kind of, their look was awesome. Like they've got really pale makeup on and their hair is kind of like big, but slicked back. And they're just like wailing up there on a keyboard. And the music, the vibe of this album, it's kind of eerie, I guess. Like it feels kind of 80s or 90s Halloween movie to me, but in a more like serious and artistic way. And it's just really good. Like it's really kind of, this is sort of a new genre of music for me. I'm not all that familiar, but I really, really loved it. So I recommend checking it out.
Hell yeah. I like it. So I looked it up real quick that I actually can't recommend The Perks of Being a Wallflower soundtrack as my album, because the actual album, like soundtrack album, is the score of the picture, and they don't have one of like a collection of the pop songs that are in it.
Okay.
So go find a playlist on Spotify of that to listen to our own Shiner's winner for our first ever soundtrack award. But my album that I picked out for this time around is a little bit in the other direction. Some may call it dad rock.
Okay, nice.
But I like dad rock. Yeah, well, I don't know who said it first, but I've agreed with the statement that I once heard that everyone comes to an age where they really get into every dude comes to an age where they get really into Steely Dan. And I think I've hit that point.
That's awesome.
Steely Dan, they're so cool. But I don't know if this is their debut album, but it's their best. Can't Buy a Thrill by Steely Dan is my album for this week. Top to bottom classics. And yeah, I agree with the statement. There will come a time, maybe in everyone's life. I don't know. I can't speak for the female experience, but as as a dude.
I have not yet gotten into Steely Dan, but I'm not going to write it off. It could happen to me.
I wouldn't write it off, especially for you. I feel like you could go through a Steely Dan phase at some point.
All right.
I see it. I read it in the cards. I see it in the crystal ball. and you too, listener, might go through your own Steely Dan phase. So check out Can't Buy a Thrill, one of the best albums around.
Nice.
And with that, it's time to bring our 186th episode and third annual Shiners Speaking English Award Show to a close. Thank you so much for listening, one and all. Thank you for voting. And now that you have a list of the winners, you can check out some of the ones that maybe you haven't seen that we watched last year. We've laid down the law of what the best of the best is in each category. So feel free to go check them out.
Yeah, you really should. And then tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, please do. So yeah, we're going to be going back to looking through the mailbag. So get your questions in the mailbag, which I will link at the top of this episode for next time around. Nice. And yeah, next week we have book club 28, I think, next episode, of Stoner by John Williams. So stay tuned for that. But thanks so much for listening, and do great things this week. We both believe in you.
We do.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and also thanks for voting.
Yeah. Goodbye. Bye now.